All right. So as we mentioned in our introduction, we're back with our friends from Bridges, a familiar voice, Allison Chanka, their Senior Director of Fund Development and Communications, as well as a new Bridges friend. Yes, Dr. John Douglas is with the program at Bridges now as their certified addiction psychiatrist and chief medical officer. Very excited to be talking to them both. We're coming into September, Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. They've also got a big event coming up that we've probably talked about almost every year over the past nearly two decades since this event has been going on. And we'll invite you to roll into it. Yeah, I'm talking about their Folks on Spokes event. And speaking of wheels, we want to first remind you about another new organization to our program. It's called Wishes on Wheels. They're a local nonprofit dedicated to bringing families, the trucking community, and supporters together to raise awareness, hope, and funds for children facing life-threatening illnesses. Check this out. On Sunday, September 27th, Wishes on Wheels is going to be hosting their annual Truck Convoy and Family Fun Day at Rentschler Field up in Hartford. The event brings together hundreds of members of the trucking community, families, volunteers, and local supporters for a day centered around this important cause. The convoy is followed by a family-friendly event featuring food, entertainment, activities, yes, of course, trucks, and other attractions. Learn more about the cause and the event at wishesonwheels.com. All right, and now to another organization that keeps rolling on since 1957. Allison, let's start with you. Give folks a little bit of background on this fabulous and recently expanding organization.
Sure. Thank you, John, and thanks for having us. We're pleased to represent Bridges Healthcare. Bridges Healthcare has been around for 70 years, providing mental health and addiction recovery programs and services throughout Milford, Orange, West Haven, and now throughout New Haven. And we serve the whole lifespan, children, families, adults, young adults, and helping children, individuals move towards healing, recovery, and renewal. Last year alone, Bridges reached nearly 9,000 individuals of all of ages through our office, school, home, and community-based programs, as well through our coordinated prevention efforts. And as you alluded to, we are really excited to announce that just as of this month, we welcomed the Family-Centered Services of Connecticut, which is a nonprofit that's been serving New Haven County for nearly 50 years, as our newest member of our family and is now a division of Bridges Healthcare. This unification now offers 30 programs and services across Greater New Haven, and we've expanded access to trauma-informed care, behavioral health treatment, domestic violence services, care coordination for complex needs, and family-centered interventions. But we're still delivering all of the mission and programs and services and person-centered care that our communities already knew and trust from both organizations. So we're really excited for this partnership.
Yeah, and a big chunk of the support that your now expanded organization is going to need to be able to continue delivering the utmost in services that you guys have been known for, as well as your newly acquired partnership has been known for, is this Folks on Spokes and Step Forward event. It's always going to be Folks on Spokes to me. I've got to start mentally working on the add-on there. But it's coming up Sunday, October 4th, down at Fowler Field in Milford. What's it all about?
Yes, you're right. It is our largest fundraising event. We're hoping to raise $50,000 this year, and it is our 35th annual Folks on Spokes and Step Forward. And you're right, it started out just as a ride. It started one of our board members 35 years ago said, let's try and raise some money through this. And boy, it has grown. We get between 300 and 400 individuals coming every year. And it's really about bringing the community together to create awareness for these often hidden or silent conditions related to mental health, addiction, and sensitive topics like overdose and suicide and survivor support. So, and there are two different ways that you can experience this. You can either do the ride, and our ride is one of the most beautiful scenic bike routes throughout the Connecticut coastline. And we offer 5, 10, 20, and 40-mile routes to choose from. And so we get riders of all skill levels. So if this is your first time on a bike, come join us. If it's your thousandth time on a bike, come do the 20, 40-mile. And they're all supported. We have rest stops along the ride, too. And it's also one of the most affordable ride entry fees around. So come and enjoy that. We also have a 5K walk. That's the step forward portion of the title of the name. And it is an opportunity for friends, families, that they can come as individuals or teams and step forward toward a hopeful future for people who are struggling with mental health or addictions or walking in honor of loved ones lost to suicide or overdose or other mental health challenges. And starting last year, we added the route to go through Milford Green. So it really helps us create awareness. A lot more people are visibility, but then we go down to the water and have this very beautiful view where people can reflect and write messages for their loved ones. One of my favorite parts of the event is something we call the remembrance ceremony. And we have that right before the walk and the 10 and 20 mile rides roll out. And it's just this really unifying moment where people have come together. They're able to share the names of their loved ones who are either have been lost or who are currently struggling on their journey. And participants can toss flowers into the river before we cross the bridge onto our walk. And it just offers so much compassion and understanding for those who often feel isolated with their grief. There's a lot of complexities around the loss of individuals or struggling through mental health challenges. And so it's really this poignant moment. I personally love it because I'm honoring some friends and family that I've either lost or are struggling. And it's great to just have this unifying moment where we come together and know that's why we're there and then step forward or roll out together.
So it's really easy to get involved. Just go to folksonspokes.bridgesct.org for registration and all the information that you need to get involved. Let's give you a quick break, Allison, and meet your new medical director, Dr. Douglas. Thanks for joining us. This is a great event, but there's also some other really important stuff going on starting in just a couple of days, and that's Overdose Awareness Day. Let's talk a little bit about how you are involving yourself and the how Bridges is going to be responding to both that as well as throughout September, Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me on the program. And overdose awareness and overdose treatment is definitely something that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm an addiction psychiatrist, and so treating addiction and all the problems related to it is something I've devoted my career to. And Overdose Awareness Day is an important day where we can really just recognize that people are still struggling with addiction, and that unfortunately can result in overdose and death. We're still in this opioid crisis, unfortunately, that's been going on for years now. And a lot of the increase in the last few years was driven by fentanyl and synthetic opioids that were just very potent opioids that people really had difficulty gauging the danger when using them. We have seen progress in the last few years where actually our number of overdoses has become less. But like all addictions, opioid overdose and addiction is an evolving field, and there's always new developments that complicate our treatment of the problem.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more from you about these couple of new substances that young adults are sadly embracing and suffering from the outcomes.
Well, thank you so much. And so one of the most recent developments in our evolving opioid crisis is the increased use of kratom, and particularly highly concentrated compounds from kratom, which go by the name 7-OH. And so 7-OH and kratom, or 7-OH is a compound found within kratom, which is a plant from actually Southeast Asia, but it's being manufactured and being made to be very concentrated and very potent, and that increases its addictive potential and also, unfortunately, increases the risk of overdose when using it.
So is there some specific post-consumption behavior or warning signs that loved ones or parents or caregivers might look for in their younger charges or their children if they suspect they might be dabbling in particularly these two substances?
So kratom is a substance that has a very interesting history where people have actually used kratom for hundreds of years as a plant to help treat pain. Some people, when they take it in low doses, they find it to give a somewhat of a stimulating effect, similar to drinking coffee. And there are many people who feel kratom has been, you know, incredibly helpful to them in managing chronic pain. In the last few years, we've seen this uptick in people taking particular substances within kratom that stimulate the opioid system and really concentrating them. And those concentrates, when people use them, look very similar to people addicted to other opioids. So if people were using heroin or people were using prescription medications, but using them recreationally that are opioids. And so opioids are sedating. People can appear very tired. When people struggle with addiction to them, they can show nodding out. So it looks like they're kind of falling asleep while sitting in a chair and then kind of suddenly waking back up. And then in an extreme case, people can, when they use opioids, including these high concentrated kratom products, they can actually stop breathing. And that's the overdose crisis, is when they stop breathing. And that also speaks to why it's incredibly important to be aware of our overdose treatment, which is a medication called Narcan or naloxone. And fortunately, a lot of places are having Narcan readily available, but it's something that we really try to get the word out in the community, that if you have a loved one who you're concerned may struggle with any addiction issue, we encourage you to have Narcan available, because it is really our main tool in addressing or in bringing someone back once they've overdosed.
So so it is as effective on fentanyl or other opioids as it is on kratom and the 7-OH.
So yeah, kratom works by stimulating the opioid system. Another complication with opioid addiction is people can also use other sedatives that are not opioids. So they work through other mechanisms that naloxone won't bring people out of overdose from. But it's always, if you're concerned someone is overdosing, using Narcan or naloxone won't hurt you. It will only reverse the effects of the overdose, and is our best initial tool. It's not a substitute, though, for getting people to the hospital. So if someone is overdosing, we want to give them Narcan to help buy as much time as we can, but it's important to call 911 and get that person to the hospital, because whatever substance they're using is still in their system.
Very good. One of the unfortunate components of addiction, as well as mental health, and the general kind of a disparity that so many people are feeling with the way the world is going these days. We are at a particularly heightened point to be really talking a straight talk about suicide and suicide prevention. Let's switch gears to that subject in the last 5 or 6 minutes that we have, and talk a little bit about your history and your experiences and how you are working with Bridges to address suicide prevention.
Sure. I really appreciate the opportunity. And suicide and overdose and addiction, unfortunately, they all run together. So when people are struggling with depression or anxiety or even family issues, problems in their life, things just not going the way that they had hoped, as a way of escaping, many people start to fantasize about suicide, start to become more obsessive in their thinking about suicide and start to wonder and think like, maybe the world would be better without me. I'm in a lot of pain and I don't think people are like that. I'm not doing any good here. And I think what I've just noticed in my work is that is just never true. Like it's a way that people kind of go down this rabbit hole of thinking, and it helps them justify the action of dying by suicide. But I think like if I could give like one main message, it's that the hole people leave when they die by suicide is much larger than anyone ever expects, and it affects people that you would never anticipate being affected. I know personally that any patient I've had that's ever overdosed or died by suicide, it leaves a mark that you never forget. And I don't necessarily think my patients always think that it's going to affect their healthcare team as much as it does, but it deeply affects the healthcare team. It deeply affects the family. It affects everyone who ever knew that person.
Yeah. In fact, it could also activate or inspire mental health, depression, anxiety in a number of survivors, right?
Oh, I think that's an excellent point. Is if other people are struggling with anxiety or depression, it's an additional burden that they're taking on, and can also provide another way of them rationalizing, well, so-and-so did it, and maybe that's the right answer. And it can push people who are teetering more in that direction.
Yeah, and that kind of explains that phenomena of, sometimes multiple suicides or two or more in groups surrounding the individual who commits the act first.
Absolutely. And as we approach Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, which is in September, it is a time to really reflect and not only like if there are family members who have lost loved ones to suicide, it doesn't mean you stop celebrating that person. Like there's really no shame in it, that this is someone who became, very depressed and became lost and really didn't see any hope. And really what we're trying to do at Bridges is get to people so they know that there is hope and that treatment really does work, and that if they're feeling dark in this moment, that there is an answer. And I think what happens is people either don't encounter the help that they need or they don't feel that help is possible. And really just the most important message I could convey is that treatment really does work. We have a variety of medications. If people don't want medications, therapy is extremely effective. And really what's most effective is the combination of medications with therapy. And of course, we always decide on an individual level what works best for each person. So if anyone's struggling with addiction or depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide, they can call our Bridges helpline, which is 203-878-6365. It's available 24/7. I think it's also really important for people to know that there is a national suicide and mental health crisis line, which is 988, similar to 911. Of course, if someone is in a life-threatening crisis, they should call 911. But if it's a mental health crisis someone's struggling with either addiction or thoughts of suicide, 988 is the national line set up for that.
Very good.
And if they call it, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, we'll leave it at that. We're just about out of time, but I thank you both so much for being part of the program. If you want to find out more about Bridges, you can go to bridgesct.org. If you want to register for their upcoming October ride and walk, their Folks on Spokes and Step Forward on October 4th. You can go to folksonspokes.bridgesct.org. And I do want to thank both our guests this morning for enduring through some technical issues as well. Allison Chanka, who is their communications director and senior fund development manager, and our new friend, Dr. John Douglas, triple board certified addiction psychiatrist and chief medical officer for Bridges. Thank you both for the great information this morning.